This is Glenn Healy.
Hi, this is Braden Holpe.
This is Daryl Sutter.
Hi, this is Brian Burke.
This is Jordan Tutu.
This is Keith Morrison.
This is Kelly Rudy.
Hi, this is Scott Hartnell.
Hey, everybody. My name is Theo Fleury.
This is Tim McAuliffe of Sportsnet, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. Happy Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a great day. We got a cool one on tap for you today. But before we get there, let's get to today's episode sponsors, Jim Spanrath and the team over at Three Trees Tap and Kitchen. Of course, they got a plethora of different beverages for you on tap. The new one being Siding 14 from Panoka, alongside the Ribstone Creek from Edgerton and 4th Meridian here in town. So they got just a great selection of beverages if you're looking for something like that. If you're looking to interact with them on social media, you can give them a follow. They're giving away gift cards every single week. And win a couple free beverages, or maybe earn a little chunk of your bill disappears when you take the Mrs. or Mr. out. If you are going to take that special someone, I highly suggest not being like this guy. Call and book a reservation, 780-874-7625. And remember, you can get all your growlers filled at Three Trees, anything on tap, including stuff like Guinness you can get in a growler, which is pretty cool. Jen Gilbert and the team, for over 45 years since 1976, the dedicated realtors of Cobalt Banker Cityside Realty have served Lloydminster and the surrounding area. Star Power is what they're providing their clients with, 7-day-a-week access, because they know big life decisions are not made during office hours. And did you know, when it comes to rental properties, they're the biggest licensed residential property management company in the city of Lloydminster. They deal with over 250 rental units. We are talking houses, apartments, and condos. They got just about everything you can ask for. Just head into Coldwell Banker today. They know where that home is truly where awesomeness happens. Coldwell Banker, Cityside Realty, for everything real estate, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 780-875-3343. Agland, with harvest season now past us, I mean, My kids call a side by side. Well, they saw a picture where I was looking up Agland's social media, and what's the first thing that pops up? The Gator, the John Deere Gator. So if you're looking for a little outdoor vehicle, maybe around the farm, Agland in town has John Deere Gators sitting there. The kids approve. They thought it looked pretty cool. Of course, a little history on Agland. They started in Lloyd back in 1957 as a John Deere equipment dealer. With a staff of six. Yeah, you heard me right, six. Now, 60-plus years later, they've changed. Well, they got multiple locations, Vermilion, St. Paul, and have a staff of over 130. That's quite the jump from six. They sell, obviously, John Deere, Brent, Bobcat, and Dangleman, and of course, AA trailers. And they're located here in Lloyd, Highway 16 and Range Road 14 on the west side of town. Or you can just give them a call, 780-875-4471. HSI Group, they are the local oilfield burners and combustion experts that can help make sure you have a compliant system working for you. The team also offers security, surveillance, and automation products for residential, commercial, livestock, and agricultural applications, with it starting to get cooler. It's been a pretty nice little fall here. But we all know some cold days are ahead of us. I'm just thinking, if you're going to be watching some cows, why not do it from the warmth of your house? Get HSI Group out there, set up some cameras so you don't have to be out there in minus 40. Maybe you like to punish yourself. I don't know. Stop in today, 3902 52nd Street, or give Brody or Kim a call at 306-825-6310. Mack Construction, they've been doing business locally for 12 years with over 100 homes completed. They are a design build operation that has specialized in constructing custom homes, cottages, and RTMs throughout Lloydminster and communities since 08. In addition to custom homes, they also do extensive renovations to residences and light commercial work. If you're looking to build your dream house, head to macconstruction.ca and look no further. If you're looking for outdoor signage, or actually, you know, even frosted windows, I was seeing them do it today. They were putting up frosting the windows out at the workplace. And they know how to do it. It was super slick. Well, if you're looking for outdoor signage, of course, billboards, go look for the SMP billboard hiding out by the airport. They can get you hooked up. Give him a call, 306-825-5111. I suggest hassling Mrs. Deanna Wandler. She's fantastic, along with the rest of their staff. Gartner Management is a Lloydminster-based company specializing in all types of rental properties to help meet your needs. Whether you're looking for a small office or a 6,000-square-foot commercial space, give Wade Gartner a call today, 780-808-5025. If you're heading into any of these businesses, make sure you let them know you heard about them from the podcast, right? Now let's get on to that T-Bar 1 Tale of the Tape. He has his bachelor's in science animal behavior psychology from the University of Lethbridge. He earned his master's in science electrophysiology and his PhD in brain and behavior psychology from the University of Calgary. His postdoctoral placement department of experimental psychology, stem cell research at Downing College, University of Cambridge, England. He's a tenured professor at Thompson Rivers University in British Columbia. I'm talking about Chris Montoya. So buckle up. Here we go.
My name is Dr. Christopher Montoya. Welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Chris Montoya. So first off, sir, thanks for hopping on.
No problem at all. Always a pleasure.
Now, I stumbled upon you, a fellow, he interviewed you and then I interviewed him, and that was Dr. Peter McCullough. So I listened to you talk on his podcast and went, wow, that was fantastic. Hence me reaching out to get you. Before we get into it, all of our audiences now need to know who the heck they're listening to as we talk about the things that go on. So I guess I'll start you off with, if you want to give a little background on yourself, Chris, so the audience can get a feel for you.
Sure. Well, I'm a dual citizen, Canada and the United States. One of the rarities, right? I have a BSc, MSc, PhD in brain research, oddly enough. And I got my undergrad from University of Lethbridge, my master's PhD, University of Calgary. And then I received an NSERC postdoctoral fellowship to anywhere in the world I wanted to go, because I helped publish people in my area in Western Canada. So I ended up going to the University of Cambridge, England, Downing College, Department of Experimental Psychology, where I did stem cell research, original stem cell research on Parkinson's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and Alzheimer's. I came back to Canada, went to a small little college to raise my family in beautiful British Columbia. It wasn't just for the fishing, but that was a big part of it. Great trout fishing here. Anyhow, and so I've been at now Thompson Rivers University for over 30 years, and I'm an associate teaching professor. I stopped doing research a while ago. It was raising families takes a bit. So I have a son now who's a medical doctor and a daughter who's a lawyer. So worked out really well. Married to the same lady for 42 years, 43 years now. Yeah.
Well, congrats. What can you share on us? I get to interview a lot of, I've done a lot of archive interviews on community members from around me, marriages 50 plus years. What can you impart on the audience that is a success of a long lasting marriage?
Sure. My wife and I have counseled psychologically for over 25 years. She stopped eventually. She got tired of it. But I'd always, when we have people come in with problems, I said, ask me how many times I've swore or cursed at my wife. Never. She's sitting right there, right? How many times have I hit my wife? Never. Laura has the right to swear at me, has the right to punch me if she wants. But I'm a martial artist. So as long as she doesn't hurt herself. And I have the right as a husband to say, I love you anyhow. That's what I have the right to do. I love you anyhow. So I am there to let her do as much as she can as a female. And she's really brilliant. And that was, I lucked out. I chose very well. She had a bad day, I'm sure.
That's great advice. Now, fast forward us to where we sit today. The reason I wanted to have you on is I listened to you and Peter talk about mass psychosis. And sure. I guess I just, where I sit, Chris, I just see the two sides of the population. And obviously one of them is bigger than the other right now. In their narratives, and one of them has to be wrong, or I think one of them has to be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. That's why I got you on to talk about it.
Okay. Now, these are called social contagions. And social contagion is an interesting thing in psychology. If a person starts laughing, other people start laughing, you start smiling, start frowning, getting mad. It's a contagion through a crowd. And I like what you said. One side has to be right. Can I tell you a little story? Am I
sure.
okay
oh, yeah.
to tell a story? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what I do with my students is this, because I talk post-formal thought. Some people are stuck in concrete thinking. Other people have abstract thinking. But about 1% of the population, I'm hoping this is you, is post-formal. That means they can see both sides of an issue, which is really interesting. And in a free society, people who are post-formal have to speak out. And so a long time ago, people thought the earth was the center of the physical universe. You've heard of this.
Yes.
Yes. Along comes Copernicus, old dead Polish dude, who says, hey guys, hold your horses, he says. Looks like the earth is going around the sun. The sun must be the center of the physical universe. Heliocentric. See, a big fight. Geocentric, heliocentric. Anyhow, poor Copernicus gets chucked into purgatory for 400 years, toasts himself, and rightly so, heretic that he was. So fast forward to the 20th century here. Stephen Hawking, guy in the wheelchair,
yes,
the brightest
absolutely.
Guys in the world. Yep. He addresses this at a conclave in Oxford, brilliant scientist. And he says, you know, well, who was right? Which one? He says, it's just a matter of critical thinking. And I think that's what we are in Canada, right? We have to be critical thinkers. So he said, all we have to do is define our terms. Earth, third rock from the sun, fair enough. The universe, is it infinite or finite? Is you go out a certain distance, you hit a wall that says end of universe? He says, no, the universe is infinite, right? That's what astronomers say, it keeps unfolding. He said, the problem people have, of course, is what we call center. While he still could, actually, I'm up. You can see me now. So he drew a circle, do this way. And to the center of the circle, he drew a dot and he drew an R there. R is for radius. So in this circle, center is defined as a point equal distance from the edges. Wherever you draw that radius, the same distance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here we have Earth, third planet from the sun, infinite universe. And to define center in our infinite universe, point equal distance from the edges. So I said, okay, I'm on Earth. How high is up? Infinite. How far is down? Infinite. Infinite, 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 infinite. He says, by our critical definition in science, is mathematically speaking, the Earth is the center of the universe. So he proves it is. Oh, poor Copernicus burnt for all that time for nothing. Anyhow, but, and here it comes. We start counting. And it took 20 seconds for one of these physicists to put his hands up and goes shaking because he's in a room of 200 people of his peers addressing probably the brightest guy in the room. He says, Stephen, yes, I think there's a problem. Really? Because I love doing this to my students. I do it all the time to them. What's the problem? What if you're on the sun? Great point. Great point. I'm on the sun. How high is up?
Infinite.
Infinite. Said, mathematically speaking, he said, every point in an infinite universe is the center. He didn't find this too interesting mathematically. Might not be interesting mathematically, but psychologically, we're talking about these social contagions. It is mind-blowing. You have two theories, Freudian theory, humanistic theory, going at each other. Which one's right? You have behavioral theory, Freudian theory going at each other. Which one's right? My students ask me, Dr. Montoya, which theory is right? Well, from a different perspective, one I'd call logical, post-formal thought, they're both right from a different perspective. It depends how you want to spin it. And we used to have these old sayings in the past, because as a psychologist, and if you're good at this, if you go into think tanks, then we are paid to spin things, okay? Now, I can neither confirm nor deny being in think tanks where we spin things to the public, but they're not really wrong. They're just from a certain perspective. That's right. So perspective shifts. And if you want to be Pfizer and earn $250 billion, hey, it may work. If you're over 60, I would say taking Pfizer will limit your chance of getting COVID more than not taking it, but just still a roll of the dice. For myself, I told my students, you get the injection, Dr. Montoya? Well, my rats and I, because I used to work with rats, have decided not to get an injection until the human trials are done. So when the FDA finally gave it the stamp of approval, I said, oh, I can do it now. But the spin, so from a certain perspective, one's going to look right. From another perspective, one's going to look right. But I'll tell you right now, if they got people like me spinning it, you'll never know. You'll never know.
And why is that?
That's a very interesting question. Sure. The average IQ of humans is, do you know? It's 100. Average IQ of people who attend universities, 115. That's one standard deviation above normal. The average IQ of a master's, 122. Average IQ of a PhD who doesn't publish or do much, just gets his PhD, is about 130. 130 is 2 out of 100 people. That's Mensa, right? You've heard of Mensa groups, that kind of things. You know? That's okay. However, if you have a PhD or a medical doctor and you're publishing and doing stuff at major universities, you have an IQ around 145. That's 1 out of 1,000 people. Canadian genius. But American genius, 160. And so these people think faster, more coherently, and they've trained their brain. So you're born with a certain ability. And that's the nature side. The nurture side is how much you can actually learn or put it to, use it or lose it. If you, I guess you can see my muscles here. So bum, bada, bum, 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 bum. There's only one reason I can do that, because I work out. And so I do things like this with my students. You can try that with your own fingers. Good luck. But I'm almost 70 years old. My hand doesn't shake. That's why I was a pretty good experimental neurosurgeon with my animals. I could do things under a microscope and there was no shake. Okay. But you're wondering why people don't understand. They don't have, this is going to sound horrible. They don't have the cognitive capacity to understand.
So then what does the rest of society, the small number of them that do understand, who can see what's going on and going, this is like
stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do?
A lot of profs at universities are very smart, but, and here it comes, here's the other side of it, emotionally unstable. They're introverted. You know, extrovert, introvert, you heard of that before.
Yes, absolutely.
Introverted people tend to want things shh, quiet. And if they get around people who yell at them, they just fold up. Very few, I would say, professors actually are extroverted or even ambivert, which is the middle. And so when people yell at them, it's fine. What I do with my students, and they think I'm an unusual prof, I tell them, please stick out your tongue. Call me old, fat, ugly, and stupid, please. And some do. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. You mistake me for someone who cares what you think. You see, as a prof, I have to have what's called professional distance. That means I have to be able to, this is academic freedom, right? To speak how we manipulate, and we do, the population for a better lifestyle in Canada. So are you being manipulated, do you think, Sean?
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And I'll say right now, if you hate, if you live in anxiety or depression, we've got you. We've manipulated you.
So that's 99.9% of the population then right now.
Yeah, they're running around trying to figure out who to hate. Is it earth-centered? Is it sun-centered? Which one is it? Point me in the direction so I can kill this thing. No. No, you're not going to see that. So can I jump ahead and say this, that if you have any religion at all, and most major religions will say this, I think Jesus said it best. What do you have to be a Christian, to be a stable citizen? He said to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second's like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't hate anyone. If you don't hate, you're really hard to manipulate. I'll tell you right now. So if you want to change North America, I think I said this in another program too. If you want to change North America, don't do it because you hate Donald Trump. Wait a second. I got a visual here, I think. Oh, there we go. My visual. I wear this to class. It's not the best. So. I wear this and my students will start frothing. And they're tearing. And I should do it while I'm wearing the hat, my visual. And I'll say, Do you think that Donald Trump knows who you are?
Who I am? Not a chance.
Not a chance. These are Canadians, right? Way up north. Not only doesn't he know, Not only doesn't he know who you are, he doesn't care who you are. Gee whiz, persistent. Okay. And so then I said, okay, so you must be, can you hear that?
No, not anymore. Yeah,
there we go. Turn it off. No one doesn't know who you are. He doesn't care who you are. You must be American citizens. You could be able to vote. Can't vote. So I asked him the question, well, all this hate then, all this anger, all this depression you're feeling, who is it really hurting?
Just you.
Just you. So let it go, guys. If you want to change North America, if you want to see things get better, change it for the love of freedom and democracy. Exercise your rights to say no. Change it for the love of this way of life. Change it for the love of liberty. Like the French guys burning their cars, right? Liberté, liberté. Absolutely. Do it for that and do it with joy. If you want to make yourself sick, do you know when my students get sick? They get sick during midterms and they get sick during final exams. Why is that? Well, because we know, we have done studies when it was still ethical to do this. We do studies with students and we'd stick things up their nose, we pay them $20, and we'd see if they had any flu viruses. Well, we stuck things up their nose that had flu viruses. And then we'd tell them, now we got your midterm results, your final results. You flunked her, babe. You can take this course again. And the other one would say, hey, man, got your midterm results, A plus. The ones we told A plus to tended not to get sick at all. The ones we told they got D's and F's on their finals and midterms got sick as dogs. Now, later on, they said that was probably unethical to do that. But that's fine. That's not me. That's just scientists in general. The thing is this. Within 10 minutes of looking in the mirror and seeing loser or thinking bad thoughts about yourself, the immunoglobulin A in your saliva drops to under 50%. You turn off your immune system. You have control over that. So when you look in the mirror, Sean, you should see your best friend. When I look in the mirror, I see somebody amazingly handsome and brilliant, everything I'd want to be, my best friends in the mirror. And that keeps my immune system
rocking.
Rocking, that's right. But if you start hating and living in depression and anxiety, you'll be turning that off. Then you'll be getting sick and you think somebody's making me sick.
So let me ask you this question then. Hmm. Because we have, you know, in Alberta, Saskatchewan right now, huge crisis, right?
Huge crisis.
That's what they're calling an emergency.
Sorry, that's what they called it.
Yes.
Yes.
Could part of that then be what you're talking about?
Absolutely. If you create this crisis of the mind, it'll cause more sick people. Yeah. But you're looking at a disease here that's highly contagious. I am not a medical doctor, but I just read this stuff, right? I used to be an experimental neurosurgeon, but with animals only. So you got this disease that's highly contagious, but non-lethal to the majority of the population. Now, everybody in a free society has the right to read and to choose. But for the government to mandate you have to do this or that, they're trying to look as if they're doing what's right, and they don't know what's right to do. They don't. This is a big best guess. But again, science does not deal in truth. Science deals in probability. So looking at the numbers and they're saying best to go this way. But are they right or wrong? No, it's probability. It's inductive, not deductive.
Hmm. If I was sitting at the top though, which I am definitely not, I'm just a minion in the cog.
Sean, you would do a better job than our prime minister. His degree is in?
I think he's a drama teacher, isn't he?
Drama teacher, and he's running Canada.
Yes.
You do just as good a job. The problem is that I talk to my students. I say, you guys are future leaders of Canada. You guys do a better job. You're probably smarter than the leaders in right now because people only get so smart, right? If people get too smart, then people can't relate to them. They don't vote them in. So most people don't know the temperature water boils at. I've been in elevators with people that are running for office, and they're erudite, educated, brilliant people. And as they're going down the elevator, they loosen their ties. And the conversation shifts. Doors open. There's the populace. Hi, y'all. Ding. Yeah, they talk at different levels, But when they get talking to their people in their writings, they dumb it down.
Hmm.
Is this too honest? I don't know. But this is psychology. This is how you spin it, right? You talk to one group for this, one group for that. One.
Yeah, I guess I'm really like, you know, we got the in BC, you have it now too, as well. The vaccine passport that's come across everywhere. You know, you got coming up here in October in Alberta, right? You've had 3,500 medical workers, staff sign a document saying they're going to walk off if they force the mandates on doctors.
My body, my right. Yeah.
And instead of the government, you know, I don't know. I sit there. I just take a step back. I go, geez, there's some smart people there, right? Like it isn't just the regular Joe who walks in to be a doctor.
I think it's worse than you think.
How so?
A long time ago, not a long time, it happens all the time. It's Ontario, let's say. Ontario has this really spike in traffic fatalities. So they do a crackdown, police crackdown, right? And this politician promises that there'll be a drop because he's going to fight these high things. Well, they know that these are demographics, right? And they follow a curve. So you get this high spike and they put in their police thing, but this thing would have dropped anyhow. So it's, the policies we put in place are working. If you look at history, the history of these pandemics, and we get them every so often, they normally come out of China. Oh, well, anyhow, but a pandemic comes across and burns itself out in 2 or 3 years. So after all these vaccinations, this thing's going to burn itself out and they're going to say the vaccination was
successful.
There you go. And everybody's happy. Earth is center of the universe or sun is. Doesn't really matter. Just which side you're on when you spin it. It's just the wrong thing to say. We're going to be around. We're going to live through it. We are the result of generations of people who have lived through plagues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I come from I joke about this every once in a while. I come from a stock that's pretty hardy because they moved to the middle of nowhere 100 years ago and survived minus 40 weather in tents. Like,
I mean,
we don't have to do much math now to go, oh, I wouldn't want to be doing that. Oh, and pick up farming when you have no background in it, right?
Like, that's right. And they survived.
Oh, not only survived, but prospered.
Prospered. And there were ones that died, but their genes were taken out of the gene pool. So the strongest genes survived and you get stronger and stronger. We've paid our dues. Yeah. So we're going to make it through this. But the spinning to make the fear and the anxiety and the depression, people are going to die. Well, I make a joke of it. I say life is a sexually transmitted terminal disease. You're not getting out of this thing alive. Now, best we can, though, if it's not too much of a shot to my system, then and I can help other people by getting vaccinated, I feel good about that. That's good. If I think this is a totalitarian step in the wrong direction and I don't get vaccinated and I feel good about it, that's okay, too. It's a free society. We don't all have to think alike.
I've heard you say this. If you have a really good conspiracy theory, you'll never know it.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. We spin it, and we get a think tank going, and we take a bunch of really smart people, and we check all the little parameters. We make false trails here and here and here. So anybody who's looking for it, not going to find it, no.
Nobody will ever find it? Or if somebody finds it, they'll be considered
something. Who shot Kennedy?
Good point.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting then with Kennedy, it was a think tank that put so many rabbit holes in there that you'd never find the actual truth?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Hmm.
Isn't that a great thing to say? Yeah, a lot of things we get in. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Well, things in the news. Canada has a little facility in Saskatchewan where they have some sort of germ study facility, we'll call it that, rather than germ warfare. And something walked out of that facility and went directly to China, right? Did you read that in the news?
I haven't read that part in the news.
Here we go. Canada may not leave the world in atomic energy, but it leads the world in germ and chemical warfare. Yeah. And if you have a propensity towards, you know, psychopharmacology as your hobby area, they'll offer you jobs in these places. Take a look at fentanyl. Fentanyl, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what carfentanyl is? That is the weaponized version of fentanyl. And then if you aerosolize it mixed with halothane, you get a real potent nerve gas. And I think the Russians used it on the Chechens back in the day and took out the people with the bomb vests before they can push the buttons. So our level of knowledge in certain areas of psychopharmacology and viral is scary. What did Einstein say? Einstein said, probably the Third World War would be fought with atomic weapons. He said, or he didn't know what type of weapon it was, but the Fourth World War, rocks.
Sticks and stones. Yeah, that's right.
But again, I think I said this another one too. Are atomic weapons so bad, really? We spin it, or think tanks like I've been in before, spin it to make it sound that really awful, right? Are they? And this, we have to look at the data. For two cities that were nuked during the Second World War were?
Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Where are those cities now?
Still there.
Ground zero. So 70 years later, ground zero, the cities are flourishing. You have a spike about 1-2% in cancer rates. What does that mean? Oh, that maybe not so bad. But I'll tell you, when the scientists first developed atomic weapons and they were going to push the button, there were two theories. One, single explosion. Two, an explosion that would ignite the atmosphere in nuclear fire and take out the planet. Now, the one that said ignite the atmosphere, and it could have, it was only about 3-4% of the scientists thought that. 97% thought single explosion. What'd they do? Push the button.
What, I'm curious then. I just finished watching Chernobyl. I am obviously behind the times because it's a few years old, obviously. And they talk about that, and that hurts the brain. On, is your thought process the same then with Chernobyl as dropping a nuclear bomb?
Oh, we could go worse than that. Place called CERN, Switzerland.
Okay.
CERN. You've heard of CERN, the super collider?
Yeah.
What do they make in there? Do you know?
Dark matter?
Yeah, dark matter and mini black holes. What's a black hole?
It sucks up everything.
That's right.
It's probably one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous thing on the entire
experiment
universe.
On the planet. There you go.
That's right.
And they're making mini black holes. It should only stay open for not even a microsecond. They can study the exotic material that comes out of there. I call mini black holes bottomless pits, and things come out of these things, right? Now, if they stay open for more than a microsecond, it'll take down Switzerland, Europe, whole planet goes. But again, they're 99% sure that wouldn't happen. What'd they do? Push the button. One of these times, we're going to roll the dice. And yeah.
Gee, I thought I was bringing you on to talk about one thing, and you got brain spinning in another. This is fantastic.
This is all the same thing. These are just spins, right?
Yeah.
They're looking for free energy. Will the population ever see free energy?
No.
Someone's going to make you pay for it. So someone is using public funds to create ways to make more money, which is, it's fine. A lot of people think the fight is between capitalism and communism, you know? There are no communist countries anymore. They talk about communist China. The leader there, XI, whatever his name is, he's a multi-billionaire. So are all communists in China billionaires? No. But I thought in communism, we share all things in common. Not so much. Guy who runs Korea, billionaire. Are all Koreans billionaires? No. These are just fascist states. They are capitalistic states. And they are dictatorships. What you're seeing is dictatorships fighting democracies right now. And this is why I think in Canada, people saying, you know, don't vax me with science. That's wonderful. And in democracy, I'm hoping that I have the right to stand on a street corner and shout something that's diametrically opposed to the other guy on the street corner and shout something. And we both don't get beat up by the police. I like that. Because if I was saying this stuff in communist China or North Korea,
you'd be
dead. Knock on the door and goodbye, Dr. Montoya. But I can say things like, you know, Trudeau, you know, what a dork. And I don't get disappeared. I love Canada for that. I love freedom of speech. I love democracy. I love this place. And this is why people are running towards us. We build walls in North America to keep people out. Communist China, Korea, Russia, they build walls to keep people in. because they don't want to be there, especially ones that are smarter and have some ability to earn money. They want to run. United States, Canada, Australia, that's what they're running to.
What do you think Australia then right now as they impose what's going on there?
Yeah. Well, Australia too, it's interesting. That's where all the prisoners went, all the dissidents. So you're going to see a little different spin, but they still elect their government, and the government's going to be a little more stringent on them. That's fine. They're sort of draconian right now, but I still think that Australia is a better bet than North Korea.
Well, I will agree with you on that. Yeah. All you got to do is do a little bit of reading on North Korea or read some of the books on it, or, I mean, listen to a few podcasts on it. Geez, just do a little bit of research and
Maybe I talk to you. Did you hear about Red China and they have so many million Muslim slaves picking cotton there?
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
And yes.
That's wrong. You know, geez. But you can't say that in China. And probably it means I'll never be able to visit China anymore, officially or unofficially.
Yeah. It's wild that some of the stuff that goes on around the planet that is allowed to go on, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we've learned anything. I tell my students that human beings are top of the food chain omnivores, pack hunting animals, the most vicious killing creature on the planet. And how did we get to be top of the food chain? We ate everything else. So we're vicious killing machines. We go hunting great white sharks. We go hunting grizzly bears. And when that isn't enough for us anymore, we go hunting Ebola and we make it worse than it is so we can play with it, you see. And so humans are out there just, you know, getting their giggles by dealing with vicious organisms on our planet. That's the kind of people we are.
You know, as we close in on time, I got to know, I chuckled at this. Words that bother you. Good, reasonable people.
Sorry. Good. I think they came to Jesus Christ and said, good master. He says, don't call me good. Only God is good. Guys healing the sick, you know, raising the dead. Good master. No, only God is good. People aren't good. People try. And I think in Christianity, what I like about Christianity, it's a free gift to, and no one can earn heaven. It makes sense that in Christianity, you can't earn eternity. It's a gift given by God, paid for by his blood. So may I leave you with this then. When I get students in my office that are collapsed from this COVID stuff and they're just losing it, I ask them who they are, because generally they're Christians in Canada. And I, who are you? They don't know. You're a child of God. And I said, well, how long are you going to live for, child of God? Not much longer, I hope. No, child of God, you're eternal. What's your value? Best answer ever. Now, this is on the other show too. $5.41. What do you mean? That's how much I get if they ground down my bones for bone meal. No, you were bought with a price. God's blood, you're infinitely valuable. You're forgiven and loved. So child of God, eternal life, infinite value, forgiven for everything you have done, will do, and are going to do by what Christ did for us, and loved by God. And so, and this is a freebie. And I always say, I like that. You know, I like the freebie part of Canada. I like freebies. Hmm. And if you have that viewpoint, then your immune system is going to function really well.
Well, in talking to so many different people over the last year, it's kept me sane and kept me pretty balanced, to be honest. I haven't been as stressed as nearly some of my close friends, relatives, coworkers, et cetera, have been. I've actually been quite, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Before I let you go, I do a little segment right at the end, the Crude Master, usually Final Five, but I'll keep it quick here as we roll in on time. If you could sit down with one person, Chris, and do this to them, sit and pick their brain, who would you take?
Oh, wow. That you floored me. I've never been actually blank for an answer, but it would go all the way from people who work. Because I know that a lot of times people think that politicians have a lot of power. They don't. So it'd probably be a multi-billionaire. But they're already doing things their own way. So, yeah. Bill Gates. maybe just have a shit to sit down with him.
Your final one then. You strike me as a man that reads a lot. What's a book that's influenced you?
The Bible, but no doubt about it, the Holy Bible. Other than that, see, I've read so many books, and I think Solomon said it too, of reading books, there's no end. And I'll leave you this too, that wisdom, with much wisdom comes much sorrow. A lot of people think, you know, we're wise, understand things, but once you get to our age, what does the world actually have to offer you? The smarter you get, the more holes you see in yourself. And so, I picked one. I'll do the Bible. The Bible's influenced me the most. All the textbooks I've read ever, science deals in probability, perhaps. If you want truth, you go to mathematics, philosophy, religion.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you giving me some time out of your busy schedule. This has been fantastic. It's been really appreciate you sitting down with me.
No problem at all, Sean. Have a great day.
Hey, folks. Thanks for joining us today. If you just stumbled on the show, please click subscribe. Then scroll to the bottom and rate and leave a review. I promise it helps. Remember, every Monday and Wednesday, we will have a new guest sitting down to share their story. The Sean Newman Podcast is available for free on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcast fix. Until next time.